Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our Low Effort, Low Quality podcast. This is Liz Brunig. This is my friend, the friend.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We just fixed a podcasting problem by ourselves.
It was really impressive.
It was a great moment for women in STEM.
We didn't even ask our house labor lawyer.
Yeah, he's away at the moment.
Yeah, he's at a children's birthday.
Yes. And we love that for him. He took the kids to their favorite like local attraction today, which is a municipally owned amusement park. That's like kind of janky, honestly.
I feel like that perfectly combines their interests.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's children's welfare, which he's all about. The rides don't necessarily look like maybe the most safe things that I've ever seen.
They got that 11th Amendment to protect them from lawsuits.
Yeah, exactly. There's a documentary about like a water park where everyone died. Does that sound familiar?
God. No, but it sounds great.
It was like, it was just like I swear I saw this documentary. It's about like a water park and it was like the 70s and like there were no safety standards or anything and everyone died there.
Action park.
Yeah.
While several people died at the park due to accidents or mishaps on its ride, it's inaccurate to say that everyone died. Okay, Grok. You don't get me.
Thanks, Grok. Shut up.
The AIs are Grok to me.
Yeah. Just one big dumb robot. Oh my God, the Grok South African thing was so funny.
Just embarrassing, truly.
For those who don't use the Twitter, I guess X now, the Grok, the little AI guy, was commanded, I guess, by Elon Musk to only answer questions about South Africa in terms of white genocide.
I feel like we talked about it.
Nevs, never mind. Nevs. Well, you see, there's this habit of mine that has destroyed my short-term memory.
I know. I was thinking about that, how one of the things that distinguishes this from many other of my experiences is going in and, like, the fact that we're smoking weed and, like, getting stupider over the course of this recording situation. It's not how I approach the rest of my professional engagements.
Yeah, no, of course not.
No.
We're both stone sober at the time of work.
Exactly. I want to be taken seriously.
Yeah, same.
By everyone.
Yeah.
Human or non-human.
Grok.
Grok or non-grok.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope they had a fun time at the amusement park.
Yeah.
Nobody got horrifically sunburned, which happens once a summer, I feel like. Yeah. Especially because Claire's a redhead.
I mean, you just have to slip up the tiniest bit.
Yeah. They catch you sleeping once.
Yeah, exactly.
And your ass is toast.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, literally.
No, I'm so tired of hearing about white South Africans.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They should never have been there in the first place. Why are they coming here? Go to Europe.
I wonder if...
Go back to Poland, son.
I wonder if, like, Freddie de Boer has South African ancestry, or did he come by that surname in some other kind of way?
Oh, God. Yeah, I always assumed he came by it...
You know what I mean?
Somewhat honestly.
Yeah.
Well, Franciscus de Boer is a Dutch former professional footballer.
Cool.
It's very cool for him.
Yeah, I love that. He's also a great writer.
Yeah, wow.
I read his Substack.
What a coinkydink.
Been a while since I've seen Freddie. But last time I saw him, he was in good shape.
We'd love to hear it.
We love to hear it, yeah.
That's what I wish for everyone,
really. Chef Freddie on the cast. You know, just part of the extended Bruniverse of writers I like who are hashtag problematic.
You know, that's between you and your God.
Frankly, it is. It's a matter of frequent concern between me and God.
I mean, I feel like you relate to people who have been through a thing, whether they, you know, kind of with their involvement of the thing being on kind of a sliding scale.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely connect with people who are outsiders or freaks for whatever reason, even reasons that are their fault.
Yeah.
Still,
like mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a D-bag by choice. you were like, this I find this sad and relatable.
Oh, yeah. I was like, damn, she's so lame. It's honestly a charity case.
Thank God. Honestly, thank God. I hope I have somewhere to sleep at night because of your benevolence.
The other day we were talking and I was like, you know, I'm haunted by the anxiety that someone will actually locate my fan fiction. Now, I'm pretty sure this can't happen, but if they did, I'd be like, fuck, that's embarrassing. Oh. Then you were like, yeah, because it's dorky. So true, queen.
I mean,
so
there's
true.
Like no victim.
There's no victim. It's like, a victimless dork crime. Yeah. Although, did I tell you, my boss at work said someone told her that I had a successful side career as a ghostwriter.
Like, honestly, I love that for you. You're so productive.
God. They specified a successful side career.
Yeah, like, we that's love not that just one.
Even your haters have to admit.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're killing it. So much money doing this. Yeah. I hate her.
Yeah, that's definitely what they
but
saying.
Yeah, I mean, you should absolutely write, you know, Chelsea Clinton's autobiography.
Yeah, hit me up. I feel like my writerly skills are not well suited to making a lot of money.
I mean, you never know.
It's like being able to talk to people about really difficult things and build trust. That's not conducive to pumping out ghostwritten autobiographies and stuff.
Yeah, because the people who can talk freely to you about stuff don't have any money.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. People with money have stuff to hide.
Yeah, they don't tell you about their bullshit.
It's true. It's true. Much to consider.
Remember when we were... Oh, yes. Apropos of people finding your fan fiction, I was like, the worst thing in the world is when, you know, like, you're just going along and you're just wondering your whole life if someone's going to find out what you did.
Yeah.
And, with you, it's like the thing you did is that you wrote fan fiction.
Yeah.
With me, it's that I, like... conspired with several friends to accuse someone of being a Bonapartist and they went to prison for 15 years. You know, you assume someone's dead. It could catch up with you.
You never know when.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like
a mysterious stranger shows up and
you can't trust anyone.
You can't trust anyone.
You let your guard down.
You slipped once. How has your adventure been going with the Count?
It's so fun. He was not having sex with the slave girl, which just truly astonished me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She's like a beautiful Greek slave girl who's like a third of his age or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's just a father to her.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's pretty wholesome. No, but it's just incredible. Like, he's been poisoning everyone. Challenging people to duels.
Awesome.
Like staging break-ins.
This reminds me of Three Musketeers.
It's crazy.
It's also really fun.
Oh, I never read that.
You didn't read The Three Musketeers? Oh, yeah.
I'll would read love it next. It. Yeah. I don't know why I mean, the political dimension is also interesting.
It's like a romance and there's espionage and it's kind of built into French politics in an interesting way.
Yeah, and like it's also, I mean, this is a very like woke reading of The Count of Monte Cristo, and I apologize, but Monte Cristo himself is this like untouchably rich, powerful guy who's like constantly doing stunts of wealth and like extravagance.
Yeah,
to impress people. Like he serves people this fish that is from like Greece, and while they're in England, and they're like, "How did you get it here?" And he like shows that they've like carried it alive in a cask. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, yeah, he like brings in the servants and he's like, or he'll like buy and sell like the best horses in the country overnight, or he'll buy a house without looking at it.
Yeah.
Just like constantly like owning everyone with his tremendous wealth.
Yeah.
And then he also is like building up like the quantity of poison that is in people's blood to like secretly kill them.
Yeah.
It's really badass.
That's so badass.
Yeah. Anyway, I recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. We could have a great book series.
Yeah, it's just like stoned people talking about
books. Yeah.
Talking about books that they literally were reading today and can no longer remember the details.
It's like, welcome back. Talking about the Brothers Karamazov. That could be our whole podcast.
I mean, it's not that far off.
No, it's not.
Except that, yeah, we mostly don't. I feel like we're mostly keeping it.
We're keeping it light and conversational around here.
Yeah. Oh,
because can you imagine what life would be like if this were a high effort, high quality podcast?
Not really.
I would be screaming, crying, and throwing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think one time I tweeted that meme. I was like some kind of screaming, crying, and throwing up meme. And one of my bosses at work called me, was like, is everything okay?
Honestly, that's very considerate.
It was very sweet, but I was like, oh no, that's a meme. That's a meme form. I'm not doing any of those things.
Yeah. Although, yeah.
I was called on my bullshit.
Wow. I mean, it's just so apropos.
Yeah. Yeah. You come up with uses for it all the time.
Yeah. Constantly.
What book would you talk about on the Great Books podcast where it was stoned people only?
Maybe Bleak House.
Oh, yeah.
I have a big thing for Bleak House.
Did you ever have a Wuthering Heights phase?
Oh my God. I had a huge Wuthering Heights phase.
Same.
Wow.
Same.
I was just telling someone on the phone today that, because I was talking about Monte Cristo and just saying that it's reminding me how much I used to love Heathcliff.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the sexiest man that had ever been.
The most intense and Byronic of bad boys.
He's just like constantly out on the moors.
Yeah.
Like, no matter the weather, he's got a brood.
He's got a brood.
And then when, like, at the beginning, when that old man, like, happens upon his house and it's just, like, him and, like, 10 dogs and, like, some old people. It's, like, a mess. Just so cool.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Did you get into the Kate Bush at the same time as I did?
I mean, I remember seeing the Kate Bush song and then also the Monty Python sketch about doing Wuthering Heights with Semaphore. Which is so silly.
It's so good. It's like Heathcliff. Yeah. Oh, Heathcliff. Yeah, it's
like, unfortunately, like just a beautiful rendition of the book. Like almost gets it. So silly.
So silly.
I just loved how much, yeah, I was like, wow, these people are so hateful and they hate each other. And
yeah.
It's like the hottest thing I've ever
come
across in my life.
No, yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
I used to, basically, the second semester of my senior year, I had already gotten into college, right? And so I was like, it's my business to do absolutely nothing for the rest of my time in high school. And so I had a couple off periods. I would have half days, basically. And then for one class I was in, I think debate still required you to be in a class, but like whatever, I didn't need to learn anything. I was fine. I would just go sit in the library while the debate class was happening, and I just read a bunch of books that seemed interesting to me. And now they're like, well, like I accidentally got into Mishima,
ooh,
who's like a big time Japanese weightlifting fascist, a fascist of the weightlifting subtype.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like wrote in, like, he was a mid-century writer, but he was big about like reestablishing the supremacy of the emperor and like participating in traditional Japanese religion. He was a nationalist. I mean, he was a fascist.
Huh.
And that was his jag. And but also, you know, perhaps one of the most gifted writers of all time. He was fantastic. Closeted, extremely closeted.
Huh.
But I think had a decent degree of like, I mean, I think he thought very deeply about it and had a sense of his identity in a way that, you know, was really interesting for an author.
Wow.
Yeah,
what
cool
a good
guy.
Use of time.
Yeah, well, I had no idea he was a fascist when I started reading this shit and was like, damn, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to a certain, yeah. I mean, like Wagner is really.
Yeah.
You can get it. I can get into it anyway.
Yeah, you can. It's, you know, it's a moving work. It's not like they're, yeah. It's
yeah,
not,
you're like, I could invade Poland
on
this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this and, like, some amphetamines, like, for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. For sure. Then you're just in Apocalypse Now territory.
Yeah, I'd be looking for a border to cross.
Oh, my God. Well, we won't let it get to that. Weren't we hanging out one time and I was like doing two different things at the same time. And I was like, do we have a lighter and a spoon? You were like, wow, things are escalating really fast.
You know, I try not to just not to judge.
Yeah, I feel I'm really situation. Touched that you would be supportive of me.
You know, things are constantly evolving. If I've known anything in my life, it's just that you have to be able to adapt to change.
That's really beautiful. That's your philosophy. I like that.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm always surprised.
Yeah.
None of my plans work out.
Yeah, your plans take a very interesting shape oftentimes.
But yeah, they fail and then things are fine anyway.
Yeah. And
yeah. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. It's a beautiful life philosophy.
Oh gosh.
You're legit the least judgmental person I know.
I mean, I'm very judgmental of certain people.
Well, certain people are doing shit they should be judged for.
People should not use litigation to try to exert power in interpersonal disputes.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless absolutely necessary.
Yeah, it should definitely be a last ditch.
It just doesn't actually solve anyone's problem.
Yeah. And in some sense, it's just a re-victimization, you know, depending on the circumstance.
Yeah. And it's just like the only people who profit are lawyers.
Yeah.
There's just like lawyers jerking off. For every problem that gets litigated, 10 lawyers are lined up jerking off. And you're paying for it.
Yeah, they only do it when they're on the clock.
At 6 o'clock, they drop their dicks and head for the door.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. King Matt he's having a lot of legal events happen right now.
Yeah.
Not concerning him, but to which he is party as an attorney.
He's writing and receiving a lot of emails.
Yeah.
I would say is what it looks like.
He's doing a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of thinking.
The
other night he asked me if I had any errands he could run because he just wanted to walk around for hours. And so I was like, okay, I gave him a list of like 25 things to get from the store and he just made several trips.
Oh my God. Wow. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. I love that for him. He just thinks better when he's walking around.
I really relate to that. I have to get up and like walk every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so funny how different his lawyering looks from what I'm doing, which is just like driving back and forth from here to the Bronx, you know, trying to meet up with people and not being able to find them.
Oh, no. Yeah. So your clients just go missing sometimes.
No. Yeah. Their phones don't always work.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's what I would say.
If I were facing a certain type of proceeding that is not a good type of proceeding to be party to, I would want you to be my lawyer.
Thanks so much, Queen.
Yeah.
Well,
just better believe it.
You know, if you have some kind of housing related problem,
it could happen
if Matt tries to evict you.
The children, when they get taller than me,
they're gonna be like they're out squatter.
Yeah, they're gonna banish me to this little room in the basement.
Yeah, and while you're there, you're gonna just hear Eric Adams' voice saying, "You can come out when you're good." Oh, no. I don't know, what is he saying?
Eric Adams. So there's like a new initiative, I guess, in New York where they're going to have drones fly around the waterways.
Thank God.
To help people who are drowning. I guess that's been happening a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the main thing that people in New York are missing is the constant buzz of drones. Yeah.
And Eric Adams said at a press conference that they had used his voice because people find it calming.
Oh, yeah, the drones that are going to, like, drop life-saving equipment to people drowning are going to be like, sir, this is Eric Adams.
Remain calm.
Take this flotation device and remember that you do not have a First Amendment right inside your own home.
Absolutely. Do not fear. Your haters will be your waiters at the table of success.
Oh my gosh. Eric Adams, honestly, has owned us all. Like,
yeah.
Beat all the charges.
He did, yeah.
He, I guess, ditched the Democrats because they tried to put him in jail.
Fair enough,
which
yeah.
I would also leave.
It's a bad brand for yeah. him, too.
Yeah, being like, we prosecute our own.
Yeah.
Like, do at least as much as, be at least as shady as the other guys.
Right?
That's my motto.
I mean, at this point, what do you gain by being fair and decent? Like, maybe that was always a sort of veil dropped over the reality of politics. Well, the veil is off at this point.
How much do you want to win?
Yeah. So that's the real question.
Like, do you care about the consequence? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just got to come down to who has more money, right? Like, the people with money want the Republicans to be in power.
Yeah. And
it's like a very small number of extremely wealthy people.
And like, campaign finance.
Right.
Has just completely fucked us.
Yeah.
As well as like everything else that the Federalist Society has done over the last 50 years, during which time we had like no parallel left-wing legal movement
yeah.
to speak of, really.
And the Democrats have said, well, a couple things. I think in that Jake Tapper thing that just came out.
Yeah.
Where he's like reports on the fact that Biden was, you know, essentially catatonic or whatever, didn't know what was happening.
Literally so lame. Too little, too late.
Way too little, way too late. You know, it'll always be our Queen Olivia Nuzzi who broke this. So,
I mean,
people should keep that in mind.
That's like literally like.
That's why liberals hate her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because she was like the first one to this story.
The thing that's wild to me is I just remember seeing clips of Joe Biden being just like clearly demented.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
And on like left Twitter and places like that.
Yeah.
And for like another 2 years, it was considered like just like rude to say anything.
Yeah.
And then now people are writing fucking best-selling books about how they knew about it all along. I don't know. I didn't read the book at all, so.
Yeah. Like, Olivia's contribution, because, yeah, it was like, it was not like a well-kept secret or anything. He would have public appearances where he wasn't making any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And this was well-known on left Twitter, as you said. But what I think Olivia brought to the table here was proof that the people around Joe Biden knew there was a serious problem. They were not deluded.
No.
In the way that they were trying to delude others.
They literally actively manipulated and lied.
Yeah.
And like prevented people from spending too much time with him to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And it seriously sucks. I mean, it's got to be a big contributor to why the Democratic brand is so toxic right now, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, this feeling that they lied to everyone.
And yeah, they were simultaneously saying, this is the most important election of your lifetime. Like, you have to take this 100% seriously. And then they're also conning everyone. It doesn't really make you
yeah.
seem on the up and up.
Yeah.
It's not cash money.
It's like, oh, you were being as shady as the other guys just for completely stupid reasons that are self-defeating.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, and like all to defeat Bernie, who like just has ideas that appeal to people.
Yeah. And in that Jake Tapper book, he writes, you know, essentially the truth that, once again, has been well known on the left, but that they conspired to drop out and get behind Biden in order to defeat Bernie, that this was a plan hatched by, you know, upper level members of the Democratic Party to keep Bernie from winning.
I mean, I guess that's like their right. Is that politics or something? It's not very democratic. Like,
yeah.
Not democratic at all.
Yeah.
And it reveals their, I just think when I think about like Nancy Pelosi's like two fridges full of ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, they just don't know what it's like to live in America.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I hate the Democrats.
Yeah. Drag them. Same.
They're so out of touch. It's amazing.
I mean, the lengths they went to fuck Bernie. You know, if that weren't enough to do it, it's just, you know, this constant left punching. You know, one of the things they said when Biden lost, I remember reading, was that they they were, you know, reviewing what had led the Democrats astray. And they concluded that part of it was the like small donations model of campaign finance.
Oh, my God.
Because they're like, the values of people who donate to political campaigns do not reflect the values of Americans writ large. And we let the party get dragged too far left.
That's, yeah, you need to listen to bigger donors.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying.
That's right. No, and that was Kamala's whole thing, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, that makes me sick, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, not just, you know, not that anyone listening to this podcast would make this mistake, but I'm not saying Trump is good. I mean, that's obviously.
No, it's a testament to like how, like, I don't know, just co-opted. I mean, the thing is that I feel like the Democrats saying they're not good at what they do is giving them too much credit. Like, they are working for their billionaire base and they are succeeding. Like, the candidate, Trump is the right person for those people.
Yeah.
Who are the Democrats' constituents.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Yeah. True. It's messed up.
It's messed up. Very dark.
I don't know how we got onto that.
Yeah. But it was righteous.
Yeah.
So we went with it. Also in the news, in New York, they might criminalize dog attacks.
Oh, yeah. I just thought this story was insane. Mm-hmm. Basically, these two, I don't think they're going to do it, but these two pit bulls attacked a chihuahua on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
And there's a video of it. It is insane. I mean, don't watch it. It's like,
no,
these pit bulls
are
like going to not want to let go. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen a dog behave like this.
Yeah.
But anyway, the chihuahua, it was fine. He was underwent multiple surgeries and made his first public appearance at City Hall.
Okay.
You know, since his surgeries.
Yeah.
Basically trying to criminalize dog attacks.
Yeah.
Unclear whether they mean, oh, I guess because Penny, the dog, and her mom feel that if a human being had been attacked, that it would be taken more seriously.
Yeah. Well.
So they want, they want to like change the status of dogs to like living beings or something.
Okay, so this is criminalizing dog-on-dog crimes.
Yeah, I think so. But unclear, like, do they put the other dog in jail?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Are you in trouble?
Yeah. Is it like a civil liability thing?
I mean, I think she's mad that it's a civil and like, she's like, because it's only a property, considered a property crime.
Yeah. All right, okay. You know, they should, you know, I don't know if they need to enact this particular piece of legislation, but you know, the issue here is the pit bull. I'm sorry to say.
No, I know. It's like, it's horrifying, but like when you actually see this video, it's kind of like, wow, that's not, no pet should be behaving that way.
I had this tough conversation with Jane the other day because there was a lady walking her dog. And Jane was like, what kind of dog is that? And I'm like, that is a pit bull. You stay away from them.
Yeah.
She's a fucking kid.
I feel like that's, yeah.
I mean, you know, Claire could absolutely be pit bull bait.
I mean, I do think that, like, anyone could hurt us. The person who might hurt you, like, is not necessarily someone who, of the type that you think might hurt you.
True.
So.
But if you're going to get hurt by a dog, I think the odds are it's going to be a pit bull.
I don't,
statistically.
Yeah. Is that true?
I'm pretty sure that's true, yeah.
I'm more scared of, like, I don't like German Shepherds very much.
Cop dogs. Scary. Yeah.
Yeah, there's this guy who runs in Riverside Park with two off-leash German Shepherds.
Okay.
Just think is so rude, honestly.
It's somewhat aggressive, but maybe they're nice dogs. I don't know.
Who gets freaked out by it?
Yeah, that is, it's... Why does he get special privileges just because he's a cop dog?
And he's like really muscular and runs really fast. So it's just kind of an entirely strange fact.
Yeah, God. When people are like there are some people who won't get the male dogs fixed.
I know.
I find really, really strange.
Just like, why does your dog's sexuality mean anything, mean so much to you? Like, just do the thing that's, you know, makes it easiest to live among others.
Yeah, we're trying to get along and be peaceful here.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel the same way when people are really precious about their dogs that they rescued.
Yeah.
I say this as someone who, like, bought a dog that grew up in a living room on Craigslist.
Yeah.
So I have no moral high ground from which to speak about this. But people who are, I don't know, people who, I feel like people sometimes like fetishize their role as like rescuer to.
Yeah. Yeah.
When men do that to female dogs, mm-hmm. it really creeps me out. I'm like, you would like keep a woman in your basement.
Oh, yeah.
Feed her, you know? Like the way you're like, I nursed this creature back to health and I'm everything that she needs. And
yeah.
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 I make her feel safe. I'm like, ew.
Gross.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put it like that.
Just like, get a job or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Nurture yourself.
Yeah. Put your head in your own lap.
Exactly. Yeah, but I think men can also be weird about their male dogs in that way, like not wanting to fix them because, and that's really strange to me.
Yeah, it's like they're projecting their own.
Yeah, their own insecurity. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's like, leave your dog alone.
Yeah, leave your dog out of this.
Your dog did not consent.
I feel like my cats, in terms of like their relationships to me, Tungus is just an associate of mine. We're good friends.
He loves you.
He loves me and I love him. But I don't know. Mr. White, it's kind of puzzling because he's like barely sentient.
No, that's so mean.
I'm sorry.
True.
It's true.
He's just kind of retiring.
All the time?
He's constantly retiring.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always in some state of a nap.
Yeah, I mean, same. He's like, don't want to throw the stones, but.
Yeah. Mr. Gray is awake much more than Mr. White.
I remember the other day when Mr. White just like grabbed my tea bag?
Yeah, because he's stupid. He doesn't know what's going on.
I mean, it could have been something nice.
Maybe the milk in it.
Yeah, he'd like never seen a tea bag before.
Yeah, he was just being stupid.
And then Tungus took a joint.
He was being smart.
Yeah.
Because I frequently, as a little joke to myself, buy them catnip joints. They're like the raw brand paper and everything.
Oh my God.
Like, clearly it's just funny. People,
I'm at risk of smoking one.
So I've given him so many of those over time. And he seems to, I don't know. He seems to love catnip, but I can't like analogize it to what a drug for a human might be, like what the effect seems to be. I mean, it seems like meth.
He gets frisky.
He kind of goes berserk and maybe like attacks you a little and like chases his brother around and his pupils get huge.
Do you think there's a like hangover period?
I've never noticed them. I mean, they get really tired, but. Yeah, I've never noticed a hangover effect. I hope it doesn't have like, I hope it's not like neurodegenerative where it's like slowly giving him brain damage.
Yeah, like with us.
Yeah, definitely with us.
Yeah.
Anyway, now he thinks that actual joints are catnip joints.
Honestly, that's like why it's not safe to have drugs in the house.
Yeah, true. Nobody
Your pets
should do
will
it.
Do them.
Yeah. Your pets will think it's cool.
Your pets see you do it and
they get the wrong idea. Yeah, that's what happened. Poor Tungus. An update from one of our friends.
Oh,
we discussed the mutual friend who came out as gay and was meeting guys off Grindr of a certain race. It turns out that guy is not gay, he says.
Okay. this, I mean, honestly, I was thinking about it. It's actually like maybe homophobic.
Yeah, you think so?
I just think you can't treat someone's like culture as like a punishment for yourself. I mean, unless people are like, I guess as long as you're like explaining your whole thing.
Yeah,
to people. I mean, she seems, I don't know, that seems kind of like, even that's what is going on in his head that he's, I don't know.
I think I guess it's this way for a lot of people. I don't know why people like to engage sexually with racism. I don't get that at all. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't see what people are getting out of it. because for it to make sense, you know, the person has to be kind of racist.
Yeah, like it has to.
Like for the frisson to be there, you have to be like, on some level, this is taboo.
Yeah, like race has to be kind of central to your sexuality in some way.
And I don't get that.
Yeah, like someone I know has a thing for Korean men.
Wow, okay. Like K-pop boys?
I mean, I don't know. I get like, I hope broader than that because first of all, just picking people from one country.
Yeah, that is strange. Is this person Korean?
No. New York Jew.
I wonder what the deal is.
I know. I just, it seems so.
North or South?
I mean, God, South. And I would be so much more interested if it were North.
If she was like, I'm exclusively into communist North Korea.
Yeah, I would be like, queen, same.
Go off. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I just don't know. With that, I'm like, first of all, you're just like limiting the types of people that you can like. Just from a practical standpoint, race is like does not have any content in it for like whether you should be with this person.
Right.
So you shouldn't include it.
Yeah.
As one of your. But I get that we're talking about more like sexuality then. And I also with that, I have no explanation or suggestions.
Yeah. I think it's like it aside from it seeming to me a bit racist, it is like it's completely treating someone as a means to an end. I mean, you're just using their identity, who they are, for your own purposes. It's not like for them also.
Is sex always like that?
No, I don't think so.
Like something that you are getting out of it is not necessarily the same thing that the other person is getting out of it. But as long as you're exchanging and entertaining the thing the other person is into, and they don't mind the thing that you're into too mm-hmm. much, then it's fair.
It's fair. Yeah.
Is it above board? Not necessarily.
Does it pass the categorical imperative? Is it Kantian?
Get a real name and call us back.
Yeah, seriously. You can't be named Immanuel Kant.
Yeah.
Serving Kant.
Yeah. Oh my God. Get out of here.
Yeah. We should name our podcast Serving Kant.
Oh my God.
Everyone could kill
us. I will kill myself.
God, that would be the worst thing
just
on
like
earth.
Any... Yeah. I mean, it's pretty funny.
Just and then, a nightmare.
And then the picture. Do we have a picture? Yeah. We can be walking across the street like at exactly 4 o'clock or something.
Yeah. Perfect.
It'll be a clock.
Yeah.
It'll show how on time we're being. Serving cunt on time.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Some sicko would listen to that. You think that people don't want employees to work from home because they think we're having too much fun?
Oh, absolutely. That's what it's about.
You think so?
They think that we're having... assume that people are in their homes sucking and fucking. Like those gentlemen in that submersible.
Okay. You're going to have to explain that for the listeners.
Well, oh my God. How was that? I feel like that was 2 summers ago.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Because it was, I'm pretty sure it was like around this time of year. It was like the beginning of June. The billionaires went down in the submersible and we lost track of them. And there was like a moment where scientists were picking up that like banging sound every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And people were like, they're banging on the walls. Like rhythmically, so as to attract attention. And then somebody like suggested that they were actually sucking and fucking.
She's like, the tweet was something like... Echolocators have found slurping and sucking sounds coming from the submersible.
I mean,
it's such a fucked up thing to do.
It's really fucked up. We can hope.
Who can say?
But then it turned out that they were just like completely wrong.
Yeah, they were just dead instantly.
Yeah, they were like, this sound might be them.
I mean, everyone was...
We think we found them.
Everyone was really hopeful. Like,
yeah, because of that one kid on there. He didn't deserve that.
He didn't deserve that.
He was just trying to please his creepy dad.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, so that sucks.
It reminds me of the White Lotus.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like a teenage kid whose dad still treats him like a little boy.
Yeah, like a kid whose dad sucks.
Yeah.
Many such cases.
Many such cases.
Like, we should, no one should be asked to get on a submersible.
Especially not with their dad.
Yeah. God. Nightmare. Yeah. Windowless box with your dad.
Oh, God.
And then you drown.
Oh, God. The last thing on your mind is how weird it is to be stuck with your dad.
You're like, oh, we're going to have to all listen to this story about.
Yeah.
Parapsychology.
Look, I listen to the parapsychology stories.
Oh,
there are worse.
Yeah. No, it's true.
At least it's funny and interesting.
It is. It's takeaways for the fam.
Matt was like, your family is like the Royal Tenenbaums.
I don't feel like I haven't seen that movie.
Oh my God. Really?
Or maybe I haven't. It just didn't stick with me. I don't really like that director.
Wes Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll investigate this.
Okay.
Royal Tenenbaums is like core Matt canon.
Wow.
That is just like an extremely important movie to him.
That's so, well, wow. It came out in 2001.
Yeah.
Just incredible year.
Yeah. It's like, it's different than his other films. Like, I think it's before... They became increasingly twee and...
Yeah, that's what I don't like.
Which I don't like. This one is lesser huh. twee. Like, there's twee, but it's like, it's a serious adult subject matter.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's some tragic comedy going on in my family home, for sure.
Yeah, but the thing about Royal Tenenbaums is they're all, like, eccentric geniuses in their own ways. Like, musically, artistically, literarily, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, it's true. Everyone has an interesting vignette going on in your family.
You could say that it's a lot of main characters.
It is.
Which, you know, is blessed and,
yeah,
you know, namaste to everyone.
Yeah, huge namaste all around. Yeah.
Namaste all day.
There's a funny story involving the friend's sister and the word namaste.
Did we tell it already?
I don't think so. Did we?
Wow. I don't know.
So I'm very interested in the friend and her sister because my daughters are sisters.
Yeah.
And I don't have a sister.
Yeah. And we're 3 years apart too.
Yeah. And so you're a great test case for how things could wind up.
Yeah. I feel like we were more different than, I don't know, Claire still, well, I'm trying to think how long I did try to do things like my older sister for a long time.
Yeah.
You just think your older sister is the most brilliant, perfect person.
Yeah. Yeah. And your sister is?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
She's brilliant.
But also very funny.
And a goofball. Yeah.
I believe, if my understanding is correct, you were always the cooler sibling.
I really can't comment. That's beyond.
That's beyond the scope of this podcast.
Yeah, it's scope.
Yeah.
Objection scope.
Matt was watching like SVU over my shoulder the other day, and he's like, when people say objection, they don't have to say what kind or anything. They just stand up and are like, Your Honor, objection. And the judge is like, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I mean, I guess sometimes it may be really obvious what you're objecting to.
Yeah.
Or you could just not have rules of discovery.
Yeah.
Which is how we do it.
Can you just object just because this shit is objectionable?
I mean, if it's objectionable, then yeah, you could be like...
There are so many objectionable things happening on the stand in SVU.
Yeah, they're like... Yeah, no, truly.
People have like... One time they convicted a guy because the hot ADA lady was like, you did these rapes. Look at the tape of this rape. And then he stood up to be like, this court is damned or whatever. And then she was like, that's not an objection you're raising. And like, it was, he had a boner, so everyone knew he was guilty.
Oh my God. Oh no.
There's another time.
That doesn't show you were guilty. That's crazy.
Can you imagine that guy's defense attorney be like, what fucking planet are we on?
Yeah, like someone's action during the trial does not show that retroactively, like, gosh, yeah.
That's so funny. And there's another time where the DA is like, I hear you like choking women. Choke me with this belt.
Your Honor, no.
It's like, I don't really get it, but I guess the people who are writing just felt like they were really cooking. And they're like, yeah, this is great stuff. This is great. And then he chokes him with the belt. And then he almost kills him, which is what happens.
And like in the SCU, people are constantly rotating between their roles in the courtroom. And they're like, I'm one of the lawyers. No, I'm the victim.
Yeah. Eternal comedy issuing from SVU at all times.
God.
I was watching one of the season one episodes from 1999. And not only was there a mention of Pokemon, but she called it Pokemon, which was really funny.
In a derogatory way?
No, she was just like, probably Pokemon.
Oh my God.
When you are quoting other women in your storytelling, do you change your voice?
You know, I mean.
Do you do it for a man?
Sometimes.
Do you do the voice?
I have like a couple of men voices and they're all derogatory.
There's the Harpo's voice.
Yeah, Harpo's voice is the voice of his small business.
Yeah, exactly.
Harpo Computers by Harpo. This is Harpo speaking. How may I help you?
He ran the business during the pandemic. You have to respect him.
Yeah, it's true. He stayed open throughout the pandemic.
Yeah. Mr. Gray, I don't know. I imagine he sounds like Count Vronsky.
Yeah, but then he chirps and you're like, he's like Count Vronsky, and when he opens his mouth, it's like a tiny little squeak.
Yeah, the tiniest little tiny boy voice. It's very funny for him.
Tungus fully tried to get into a muffin.
He did.
Trade.
He did. And then when everyone laughed at him, he was like, no,
my paw is just here because it seemed like a nice place to put it.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, not beating the tried to get into a muffin tin allegations.
Me neither. That was we got really nice massages today.
Yeah, we did. It was really nice. It's very luxurious to get a massage.
Yeah. The lady told me that I really needed it. Did she tell you that?
No. It would have been kind of weird if she told me that. No. She's like, your friend really needed a fucking massage.
Did she tell you that about yourself?
Okay. All right.
No, okay. Yeah.
No, she did not say that to me.
People are always, she also said this thing that people always say to me, which is people are like, wow, I bet you're left handed.
Really?
Yeah, every time. And I'm like, yes, I know that my left side is like a lot bigger than my right side.
That's so interesting. Matt has left-handed energy, though he's not. Maybe he's the most right-handed energy person and everyone else is somewhat less than him.
It's kind of horseshoe theory.
Yeah, exactly.
He starts to approach being a left-handed.
Yeah, exactly. In his perfected form. Yeah, it was great. We went to a party this afternoon and Matt was already there and he was just pacing.
No, but then he started having a nice conversation.
Yeah, he was just having a labor law moment, had to pace and think.
I mean, who among us?
Yeah, who among us?
I'm constantly like, ULP? Question mark.
Yeah, no, even I.
Is this at this point? Yeah.
Oh, I believe we overlooked a very important point, which is that Kim K has graduated from law school.
Oh my gosh, yes. Mazel tov to Kim K.
Big congrats.
6 years.
6 years, you know, different path than most students, maybe.
And she still has to take the bar.
Okay.
But yeah, that's frankly awesome.
That's an achievement.
I wonder what she's planning on doing.
Yeah. She takes an interest in the criminal justice system, but I don't know that she wants to be like a defense attorney.
Yeah. I mean, didn't OJ like almost kill himself in her bedroom?
Yeah, something like that.
That's kind of a cursed thing to grow up with. I wonder if they like moved or something.
Yeah. Yeah. One would hope that they didn't stick around.
I mean, it must have been a really infamous house after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure her dad was like, OJ, please don't kill yourself at my daughter's bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, which is a fair request.
And that, yeah, her dad was his lawyer.
Yeah. And like friend. It's a whole situation.
Rip. Man, if I ever need a criminal defense attorney, it's going to be you, Matt, and this extremely successful corporate attorney I know. That's going to be my defense team.
Exactly. And the three of us will hire Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
No, and...
It'll be his last act.
Yeah. Well, no, he'll like, bully his way onto our team.
Yeah.
We'll try to hire Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, that's who I need. Yeah. You can get him on a phone consultation from heaven.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have like a kind of 3D animated projection. That will be AI. It'll be Grok.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's the last thing we need. Grok takes on human form.
Oh, my God. Grok becomes your defense attorney.
Have you seen those pictures of RFK walking around D.C.? Like, apparently he walks to work and walks home and stuff.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me because he was a big walker in L.A.
Yeah. And it's not a bad thing or anything, but he...
Fuck him for walking.
Fuck him. Get in a goddamn car.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, you could take the fucking subway.
Yeah.
Get underground. Get out of that sunlight. He thinks sunlight is good for you.
He's so red.
He's one of getting burned on the way to work.
Florid men I've ever seen.
Did you see the photo of him, like... I mean, you showed it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it, like picking his teeth or something?
With his tongue.
He
like had his mouth open and was trying to do something with his tongue.
Horrible.
It was really bad.
Just like, sir.
I sent this to Emmett and he just goes, no, why?
It's not right.
There it is. The listeners love when we talk about pictures.
Oh, my God. It's so gross. Trump is in it, which is also, it's just funny to see Trump out of focus in a photo.
Yeah. God.
They're like, instead, look at this, like, person who's two tones redder.
He's legit so much redder than Trump.
I mean.
And they're both very warm-toned men.
Is RFK against sunscreen?
That's probably a good question.
Right. I feel like it's one of those things that he would be against.
Seems like it, yeah.
I mean, he's publicly criticized J&J for allegedly including carcinogenic chemicals in their sunscreen, which I can't even disagree with.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's wrong necessarily.
I do, if they are doing that, criticize them for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's oxybenzone.
So he probably just uses like mineral sunscreens, I assume.
But those work.
Mineral sunscreens?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they do.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why he's so red.
Yeah, I don't get it.
He's using them.
Matt thinks he's on roids.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think so? Does that make you red?
It makes you red. And that explains why doesn't he kind of do these like physical displays?
Yeah, he definitely, does stuff like that.
Like that's, I mean, strange.
It's strange. It's strange at his age to be like weirdly jacked and... Yeah.
Did I tell you about the guy that I worked for, this English teacher who, when he was at Harvard as a kid, dated John Rawls's daughter?
Oh, cool. No.
And that John Rawls was constantly lifting weights.
That is like, so funny.
Him to go downstairs and lift weights with him.
You have to tell Matt that.
I feel like I must have.
Yeah.
And that it was like, I mean, it does sound like kind of toxic.
Yeah, but also very funny.
Is that? Yeah, yeah. Also so funny. This guy was like just so thrilled to be able to tell someone this story. Appreciated it. I felt like he didn't get to talk about it enough.
He's like, John Rawls was swole and he used to make me pump iron in his basement.
He used to challenge me in front of my girlfriend.
I like that one of the most gifted liberal thinkers of all time and in his private life, he's like, this little fuck can't live shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It shows that he had some balance.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad he was excelling in other areas of his life as well.
Yeah. It's, you know, you can't just be in front of a pen or computer or whatever.
It's true. Maybe he had his best thoughts.
Yeah.
While lifting.
Yeah. Many such cases.
It's possible. Yeah.
Many such cases. So you know how you were telling me about that magazine, Evie?
Yeah.
I had never really noticed it before.
Yeah.
But then I was just reading something in The Cut.
Yeah.
And it was talking about how they profiled this Instagram influencer who's basically like kind of pro disordered eating.
Yeah.
Like cult of skinny
thing. No.
And like there are lots of like young people who are on there getting reinforcement for these behaviors. Yeah. Just how like that's like one of the things that's like happening on social media now.
Yeah, for sure.
And Evie just like flatteringly profiled this woman and was like, look at this cool thing that she's doing. La,
yeah.
La. And yeah, it's just like so, I don't know. There's something about that combined with their like homesteady thing.
Yeah.
That just is so hollow to me.
Yeah.
First of all, if you were on a homestead, like, wouldn't you be like eating homemade butter?
And yeah.
Things like that's what I would be doing is like eating yogurt every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, in the
and,
past.
Like, working. You can't just be like fucking fainting all the time because of how hungry you are.
Right. Yeah.
There's like actual work to do. So you can't just be weak.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
It's so.
You gotta eat.
This article made me really sad, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's true that if you don't eat as many calories as you need, you'll lose weight and be skinny.
Yeah, the girls are like telling each other how to deal with their hair falling out.
Yeah, but that shit is extremely dark. That's just suicide.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, like calling people who don't do that names.
Yeah.
And like criticizing them for not having the right amount of willpower.
Yeah.
And like basically being, it's just like because it's on the internet, like,
yeah,
it's like the worst global mean girls.
Yeah.
Like anorexia cult.
God almighty.
It just seems so bad.
Just so obviously bad. Anorexia is quite lethal for a mental illness.
Yeah.
Ranked among them. So it's not something you can play around with.
No, the symptoms these people are talking, like one of the things this influencer does is like she tells them that the symptoms of like feeling faint and losing your hair and stuff is like part of the transition to being a skinny person.
Okay.
And so like it'll pass kind of.
Yeah.
But actually that's like how you feel if you're not getting enough nutrients.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you don't like acclimate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently, Evie, like, describes her. And this is, I'm literally, like, recalling an article that I read. I could be making this up completely, but they were, like, describing her diet. And it's not, like, she couldn't be living on the diet that they described her as having.
Like, what was she eating?
I don't know. We're not going to talk about it we're not going to, like, give people advice about how to be skinny.
Yeah.
But it's just, it reminded me of, like, the 2000s when I always think about this. Like one time that I saw People magazine and Sarah Michelle Gellar was talking about being on a cabbage soup diet.
Yeah.
And only eating cabbage soup.
Yeah.
For like 25 days.
Yeah. You used to see a lot of that.
Yeah. And she's like, it's amazing. Like, you know, I lost like 30 pounds.
I'm going on a cleanse. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and it's like, this should just not be, we don't put that shit in magazines anymore.
Yeah.
Like, this is so regressive to be like, why not have an eating disorder, girls? In addition to getting married young and like, these women are going to die like this.
They're so, the part of Evie magazine's whole manifesto is that women are like too ugly and slovenly now.
Wow.
So they're like, one of their premises is like, women don't want to see fat, ugly models or like models with vitiligo or like models who are, I don't know, disabled or whatever. They want fantasy. They want glamour.
Who wants that? Who wants models?
I mean,
models.
You know, they were, I mean, the graphic provided for that story was like the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
And I'm cancel like, it. Have it like, at my house. We'll all jerk off. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a place in the order of things for lingerie models dressed up in like lingerie costuming. But I don't share their distaste for people who look otherwise. But
there are more people who are not lingerie models than lingerie models.
But they're definitely like part of their conservativeness is trying to hang on to the, you know, past eras where there were certain strong expectations placed on women about how they look.
I just think that sucks so much.
It sucks so fucking much.
These people can suck their own dicks.
I mean, you know, you're just talking to young conservative women. So if you want to give a bunch of your own people eating disorders, like, I don't know, that's kind of on you, I guess.
Yeah. God, no, it's just really contentless and like, it's nothing. There's nothing to add.
No, yeah. I mean, it's there to make people insecure, right?
Like, great job. Now,
yeah,
making America insecure again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially anorexia is just, yeah, it's so extremely dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was getting so pissed reading this and hearing that they were like uncritically just. And yeah, it seemed to be in conflict with my idea of like a buxom.
Yeah.
Like constantly pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Home wife person.
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
they're not sure what they want.
It's not farm wife core.
It's not farm wife core.
They're always trying to sell on the Evie Magazine Instagram page what they call their raw milkmaid dress.
Which, you know, all the respect.
I don't
love
know
and respect.
Which part of it is raw?
Yeah, that's not right.
Is the joke like on raw milk? Because they're conservative and they're into like raw milk.
I mean, are they?
Some people are into raw milk on the right wing.
Did you see that Britney was smoking on the plane again?
Again?
Yeah, apparently it's happened more than once.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Queen.
Girl, did she just light up?
Yeah.
Like sitting in her seat?
I think so.
Just queen, honestly.
Yeah. She says that notifying authorities was kind of much.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely much.
It's much to call the cops on someone for lighting a cigarette and then putting it out when told to.
She also said it was the first time she had ever had vodka.
Okay.
Which, like, same.
Hey, possibly. Who knows?
Yeah, like, no ill will from me.
Yeah, no judgment at all.
You should be able to smoke on a plane.
Yeah, seriously. People just need to calm down.
They should make a movie, Smoke on a Plane. Instead of snakes, it's just people smoking.
And it rocks. Everyone's having a great time.
Yeah. It's just like people hanging out for 7 hours.
They all look really cool while they're doing it.
Yeah, they look great. They're on their way to Europe or something. Yeah.
It's like a reverse White Lotus where it's just a bunch of rich people acting cool and being awesome. And it's to sell cigarettes also.
Oh my gosh. When I was on a flight from like Sydney, Australia to Bali.
Yeah.
It was like 90% full of like enormous partying,
mm-hmm.
like Australian men and women who were going to Bali for the week or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was the closest to like being on a, like people were getting the party started on the plane. Like it was so crazy.
Was it fun or was it kind of stressful?
I was just not involved at all. I was just seeing it was just very loud.
Yeah.
It was like a plane ride in which people were talking at the top of their voices the entire time.
Yeah.
And drinking actively.
Yeah.
It was like being in a bar, a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it was that kind of flight and they're just not including that information in here.
Yeah.
Everyone else was smoking already. Britney's the first one who gets in trouble. That's not right.
The last time I had this really long day of travel coming back from Austin, that was when I left my wallet at home and had to travel with no ID.
Oh, my God.
So, like, yeah. I knew I was in for a time. And I was, like, connecting through some airport and shit was, like, massively delayed. It was hell. I, like, missed a flight and had to book a new one at the airport. Whatever, it was hellish. So I just started drinking at, like, 10 that morning at the airport.
Wow, very normal. Normal behavior.
Then drank on the plane.
Oh my God, Liz.
Drank at the airport. And by the time I was getting on my last flight going into New York City, I was so buzzed. I took a picture of the gate agent girl because she was so pretty. I wanted to show Matt.
Oh my God. Okay. I mean, the thing is about that is like, that would be extremely worrying behavior if I like ever saw you drink.
Yeah.
But unless you're being very sneaky about it, you just don't drink most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you're like, I'm going to drink all day.
Yeah, exactly.
And you end up doing like mild surveillance, crimes of surveillance.
Yeah, I know. I was so sorry I took a creep shot of that lady. I thought it was really funny. And that's what I was trying to show Matt, because like, that everything was massively delayed. So people were super pissed and they would be standing in line, like ready to yell at her and be like, where is it? What are you doing? What are you going to do for us? Blah, blah, blah. Because people, it was like,
they sound like your kids' voices.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically they were acting like children, and a few people did get up and get in her face and yell at her. And I was like, almost going to be like, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
What the fuck can she do about it?
God, I would get so mad.
But then sometimes people would get up there and would be greeted with the fact that she was really pretty and would clearly just get kind of embarrassed.
I love that.
And unable to gripe at her.
That's what, I mean,
it was
beautiful.
So funny.
Like, you should always consider, like, yeah, just like,
it reminded me of those, those memes where it's like, this is who you're being mean to.
Oh my God.
It's like a picture of a bunny or a kitten or something.
Oh my gosh. Or like a beautiful IDF soldier with blue eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. This is who you're being mean to at the Southwest gate.
Yeah.
The pretty gate agent lady. When I sent it to Matt and he was like, stop taking creep shots.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. We're all guilty of it.
We're all guilty of it.
Sometimes you just want people to be able to see what you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're like trying to experience it as though you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're all like so isolated and atomized.
God, so true.
Our little lives.
It's dark. Okay. Well, the friend has died and we've been with you an hour. So. Smoke reportedly filled the cabin of a Delta plane and was so thick a flight attendant had trouble seeing.
Like, was it okay?
It seems like a Cheech and Chong bit. Like, there's just so much weed smoke on the plane that you literally can't see in front of you. It's just basically a solid in the air.
But that must have been the worst that happened, because they were evacuated. It's under investigation.
Wow, so it was probably not weed smoke.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
TBD.
TBD. Yeah, we'll find out next time on the Brewcast.